is up, Level Up Nation. Welcome to episode 152 of the Level Up Podcast, your home for gaming and esports news, brought to you by the Overtime Network. My name is John, and I am joined for the 152nd time. 52nd, right? Or is it 52nd-ith? I don't know. 52nd time. By the king of the courtside. You know, it gets really hard when we get up to these higher numbers. The king of the courtside, Joey. What's up, buddy?
Wow, triple digits, and we're already struggling a little bit over there.
It's a Monday. It's always going to happen as long as we keep the show on a Monday, Joey. I'm going to struggle. Math is not my strong suit. Grammar is not there either. So when you put those two together and you want me putting an ND or a TH next to these nuts, it's just never going to work. But what does work, Nation, is you following us on social media. Make sure you follow the show on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at the Level Up Podcast. That's at the LVLUP Podcast. And while you're on Twitter, why not give your favorite host, Joey, a follow? That's at Courtside King. And if you feel bad for the awful host of the show, me, that's at Fiasco. Joey, you're shaking your head. It's okay.
You were just too much over there.
We all know the nation loves you. It's completely fine. I'm fine with being the bad guy, Joey. It's fine.
Good cop, bad cop.
Something like that. So if you are watching here live on Twitch, welcome as always to the live stream. You can find those handles directly at those mugshots you are currently staring at. As Joey rubs his face because he is tired. It is a long Monday. I thought you were kind of posing there for your mugshot. And if you're listening on your podcatcher of choice down the road, they will be in the show notes for you below. But Nation, while you're at it, and you're already adding us on social media, why not just do us a small little favor? And that favor would be leaving us a review on your podcatcher of choice. The Level Up Podcast is now available on Spotify, Stitcher, as well as iTunes, Google Play, and SoundCloud. Reviews do go a long way helping grow the show and reach new listeners. So if you do have a moment, you would earn your gold star for the day if you took a small moment out of your time, out of your day, time day, to leave us a review on that podcatcher of choice. Nation, rumor has it there is a Space Marine game coming to the PC this week. I've never heard of it, but let's hope it's not another bust like some of these other space games we've seen lately. I'm kidding. Of course, I'm talking about Halo Reach coming to the PC this week. Time to renew my Xbox Game Pass. Joey, Space Marines going pew pew is only one topic on this week's episode. What else are we covering on episode 152?
Yes, sir. Tons of different things. Obviously, a lot of roster changes. We're going to touch a bit on League of Legends, not too much because there's still a whole bunch of movement going on over there. But in addition to that, we have FIFA, CSGO, Dota 2, roster changes galore. We also have some upcoming events from the Game Awards, Gears Esports in San Diego, and much, much more. John, we got quite a bit on today's episode.
My goodness, Joey, that is another bountiful episode of the Level Up Podcast. I don't know about you. I'm still stuffed from Thanksgiving, and I feel like we're getting like a second helping of Thanksgiving in esport topics. So I'm going to need a little assistance to help me talk about all these amazing topics. Of course, I'm talking about the time-honored tradition that started all the way back when the pilgrims settled North America. Of course, I'm talking about the drink of choice, Joey. It goes that far back, believe it or not. I read it somewhere in a history book. Joey, for the 152nd time, your beverage, please.
John, I'm drinking a small town in Ontario from Aslan Beer Company.
Wait, that's actually the name of the beer, is a small
that
town in Ontario?
Oh, India Pale Ale, 6.0% alcohol.
Oh, it's an IPA? Oh, that is all you. I do not do
IPAs. Yeah, I don't know. I really hated IPAs for the longest time. I thought they tasted like soap. But like this past year and a half, I've really grown to like them a lot. My taste has matured.
Or your taste buds on your tongue have died. One of the two. Joey, in a lovely Heineken glass rocking the DC United logo.
Nice.
I am having a Captain and Ginger, so it is not a Heineken. So it is false advertisement because it's definitely not a Heineken in the glass, but it is a Captain and Ginger. And if you doubt me, good friends, that is a beautiful 1.75 liter bottle of Captain Morgan that is missing a little bit more than one glass of Captain Morgan. Joey, I'm not going to say how much I had to drink before the episode. It's just one glass. Don't worry. No random podcast political What's the word I'm looking for here, Joey?
I have no idea.
Remember that one episode? It was like 80 episodes ago by now. We had that one person in Norway that played a video game on the floor of Parliament, and we like...
Endorsement?
Endorsements! There we go. There will be no political endorsements today. My goodness, it is definitely a Monday, Joey. All right, we have our beverages. I don't want to waste any more time, Joey. We have a ton to talk about. Let's get right into gaming and e-sports news. Let's go.
Kicking things off, John, we have to say a special thanks to Squirtle in the chat who just subscribed again for his 12th month. Thanks, Squirtle, for that. And we do see your comment over there. How about that honey IPA? John, that one I think is to you.
No, I still don't do IPAs at all. I don't do IPAs. I don't do milk sugar.
Even with the honey?
Yeah, probably not. But just real quick, Squirtle, 12 months, that is absurd. That is one full year of listening to us ramble and hang out on stream with us. That is really cool. We do appreciate your support, as always. And I'll tell you what, the next time we hang out, if there's a honey IPA, I will try it.
Ooh.
I am still not a fan of IPAs, but I will attempt to stomach one glass, one can, one bottle, whatever happens to be in. I will attempt to stomach an IPA. How about that? There you go.
Wow. See, I would not have left the size up to him for the option. Who knows what you'll end up with on that crazy thing?
You know what? That is something I am willing to do for our listeners. It's called self-sacrifice, Joey. It's a season of giving.
True that. And speaking of giving, actually, this one's taking. Fnatic is kicking things off this week for our roster moves. A couple weeks ago, they added world-renowned FIFA player Tex, and this week, they have brought Tom on via loan from Hashtag United for the next 4 months. Tom will play beside Tex for the duration of the eClub World Cup. I think this is a great move overall. And to me, John, the bigger thing about this is not that Fnatic is just adding a player, but the fact that they've broke away from Roma, they've jumped into the FIFA scene themselves, so they're still supporting the Roma staff and players, but they're also building their own roster. And they're a world-class organization, Fnatic. And yes, I'm a little biased, but I think everyone would agree. With that being said, the fact that we see more and more big organizations continue to jump into FIFA, I think is one of the reasons we see it continue to excel as a sports esports-based title. Or esports-based sport title.
I may have to ask this, Joey. Is there going to be a conflict of interest now if these two teams somehow meet in a tournament? If Fnatic, since they're still backing Roma, and they have their own Fnatic FIFA team as well now, is there going to be any kind of conflict of interest? Like we've seen this in like League of Legends or Overwatch League, where you know an organization tries to buy a second team, or they're trying to do some funky stuff with rosters or organizational structure, and ends up being a conflict of interest, and it's not there. Kind of curious on your take there, sir. Is would this be considered something like a conflict of interest?
See, that's a really good question. So, at this point, I would say no. So they were partnered up. It was originally, I think it was Fnatic Roma Esports or Roma Fnatic Esports at one point. Now they've split. So it's just Roma Esports and Fnatic Esports, or just Fnatic. At this point, I don't think so, because the only thing really happening is shared practice base and some shared practices here and there. So I would say no, but I think that is a gray area that hasn't really been discussed much.
Okay, that's something we'll have to see play out, because I'm kind of curious as if their front office or if their staff is still being paid, if they're still on the books, or if they're being aided in almost any way. I would be kind of curious just to see how that plays out in the FIFA esports scene. But regardless, that's still great news for one of the world's largest esports organizations branching into FIFA. FIFA, one of the, if not the top traditional sport, esport in the world. Just absolutely a phenomenal job there. Fnatic's going to do it right. Roma's been doing great with Fnatic also. So with that partnership coming to an end, I think Fnatic diving into this space head first on their own brand. Now I think that's just only going to be a good step forward for that FIFA community.
And I can't find the updated information on the website. So Fnatic, let's get on that, boys. But yeah, I'm not 100% sure. I feel like there was some kind of agreement that probably went down with EA Sports or with the FIFA tournament organizers that kind of discussed this possibility. At least that's what I would assume in today's day and age with esports. Like you said, a lot of organizations are being forced to break away from other teams or other organizations they sponsor in multiple leagues, like we saw with League of Legends. Dignitas was one of those teams that had an EU team and an NA team at one point. And then a whole bunch of drama later. Now they're back in NA, but at one point they were forced to sell one of their two teams. I think this was maybe not something similar. Maybe this was organization-based where Fnatic said, hey, we want to jump into this, or at least we want to continue on in the scene if they were forced to split from Roma at some point when they were considering buying players. Really good point, though. I never even considered that, to be honest.
I'm the negative guy, remember? I always come up with the
negative. Well, thank you,
I bring the negativity.
CSGO. Hopefully not bringing the negative is Team Secret, because they have unveiled their new CSGO roster. That's going to include Tudson, Anarquez, Synopsy, Flatroot, and Regan. Honestly, John, I don't know too many of the names in this roster. I do like the fact that Secret is reinvesting in CSGO, that they're continuing to build a new roster. I've heard of Tudson. Chat may have heard of a few of these other guys. I personally haven't, but again, I think CSGO is a really good scene. It's a scene that's been around for a while. Obviously, it's like League of Legends of the shooters, it feels like. You can argue Call of Duty's been around for a while too, but it changes titles every 3 months, it feels like, really every year or two. But when it comes down to it, CSGO has been around for such a long time. Global Offensive just continues to grow. The esports scene is doing well prize pool-wise, it's doing well viewership-wise. Tournaments are getting picked up every year, it feels like. I really like this move from Secret.
Yeah, I think it's great that Secret is kind of doubling down here on CSGO. Joey, you hit the nail on the head. You know, CSGO's been around forever. It's a game that really hasn't gone through too many changes when almost every other kind of shooter out there kind of tries to reinvent themselves like every 2 to 3 years. CSGO is really holding strong. And that community, it's been a little bit of a roller coaster. They've had some ups and downs. Right now, they're on an upswing. They're doing incredibly well. Viewership is up. Money sponsorship is there. So it's really good seeing a great organization like Team Secret really double down and hold firm in their commitment to CSGO. It's only going to make that scene stronger with them doing that.
Yeah, chat mentioned some money issues with Secret. I don't know about the organization as a whole, but I believe they did run into some money issues with the League of Legends team. I think the big thing was, I mean, really, they spent money on a few players like Profit, for example, in top lane. It didn't pan out. I believe at the time they got knocked down to relegations. It just didn't seem like things were working for them. And I think they moved on from the team due to not wanting to put more money in it. Not 100% if they had other organization issues as far as money goes. But I know with the League of Legends scene, they just didn't see the investment being there based on the return they got from their roster. Dota 2, former Liquid Dota TI champions, have moved forward with forming their new organization. We talked about this, I believe it was like 2 or 3 weeks ago at this point, John, maybe even a month. They've started this new organization. They've gone through, they've broke away from Team Liquid. They're doing their own thing, and it's going to be called Nigma Esports. The name comes from the Arabic language meaning star.
I like the uniqueness of the name. I think to the ear, just using the ear test, I think it sounds bad. I do like the idea of going outside of traditional English names, using something that has a different meaning to it or a different interpretation, different translation. So I do like that aspect of it. But Nigma Esports, to me, when I think of Nigma, I think of like, who is that character? I'm blanking on my nerdiness right now, and it's upsetting. Nigma was the Riddler.
Are you talking about Enigma?
No, I'm not talking about Enigma, but that also, but there was, there's a character in the DC universe, I believe it was the Riddler's first name.
Oh, I'm right. Enigma, it's Enigma.
Like it's Enigma. Okay, fine.
With
whatever.
An E, yeah.
I'm completely all over the place, but yeah, it's so not to skip ahead too much, but I gave Mad Lions a lot of crap when they switched their name from Splice to Mad Lions, and you know, fine, whatever. Mad Lions is kind of growing on me now that I see Nigma Esports. I just don't like the name. It just doesn't pass the sound test. It's one of those things where it's like esports is known for, I don't want to say edgy, but they're known for very unique names. They're known for, kind of pressing the envelope with, you know, what you can call yourself or what you can go by. I mean, let's be real here. Ninjas in Pajamas. There's no NFL team that's going to rebrand to Ninjas in Pajamas. Or, you know, it's just, you know, or Unicorns of Love. You know, that's the uniqueness of esports. That's something that really brings together that community, is kind of being weird together. And then you have Nigma, which is cool because it comes from the Arabic language and has a meaning of star too, and that's great. But it just, I don't know. I'm not sold on it yet.
No, not at all. Nigma to me is an enigma. I'm not really sure why this one went through. To me, I think chat said it as well. Like, they don't think it would have made it past the planning stages. This to me is just such an odd name. Like, if you pronounce it wrong, if you're saying it fast, it could come across as a slur potentially. It really, I don't understand the full meaning behind it as far as the star. Maybe they're going to guide the way of Dota in years forward, or they could just be guiding themselves to bad publicity. It just, it's really still to be determined. As far as Enigma in DC Comics though, John, we're going to have fun random trivia time. Where did they first appear? What kind of comic series within the DC Comics universe?
For what? I'm sorry.
When did Enigma, the character, first appear? If you had a guess, like a character comic series. I would have gotten this wrong, if it makes you feel better.
It sounds kind of... I don't want to say he's old school, because it doesn't sound like something that would be old school. I feel like Enigma would be a name that is somewhat more modern. I'm going to go with right around the turn of the century. I'm going to say 2000.
We're going for the type of comic, like
Superman, not
Batman,
not
Aquaman, that kind of thing.
Oh, 1954.
Why are you picking a year?
I thought, isn't that what you're asking?
Chat understands what we're doing here. No, the type.
What?
So, like, do you think they appear in, like, Batman, Superman, Aquaman? What series? But I like the year. You're still off on the year, by the way. But
I keep thinking you're talking about the character. There's a character named Enigma.
That's what we're talking about. We're talking about the character. When did the character first appear in the comics? I'll give you the year. The year was 2006.
Oh, are you saying what comic he appeared
what
in?
What comic? Yes, yes, yes.
Oh, I thought you were talking about like what year?
It's okay. Mondays. Mondays happen.
It is so bad. I'm going to have to go with Batman. I mean, it has to be Batman.
Okay, I would have guessed Batman too. Batman is incorrect. It was Teen Titans, Volume 3, Number 38.
Teen Titans?
Teen Titans is where
isn't that like a kid's show?
Well, it was a comic as well. But yeah, Teen Titans. It was on Cartoon Network, might be what you're thinking of. But yeah, that was a comic as well. So he or she originated in Teen Titans, known as the Riddler's daughter. Good times. So we all guessed Batman and we're all wrong. Great job, chat and John. John, 1996. good times, good times. Tons of moves in League of Legends.
I'm on protest right now. I'm totally on protest.
I love it. Okay, so League of Legends, we have tons and tons of roster moves. We're going to probably wait a little bit to recap some of those, but a couple we want to touch on. Kicking things off, one in particular that really shook the scene, John, is decorated coach Koma heading to Vici Gaming in China after turning down a multi-year seven-figure deal to stay with T1.
I wonder if his second seven-figure deal with Vici Gaming was more, or maybe it was an eight-figure deal. I don't know. I mean, China has really been competing against Korea in League. They've really been flashing the cash a lot within the past couple of years. It's not really surprising. But at the same time, it's like, I don't know, maybe Coach Kim's looking for a different challenge by going
Coach
to the
Koma.
Chinese League. Coach Koma, pardon me. Coach Koma.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. That's the problem. The problem with the words right there. With Koma going to the Chinese scene, maybe he's looking for a new challenge. Maybe he's looking for, you know, just a way to kind of rejuvenate his competitive edge by going to a different league. Maybe it's not about the money, even though seven figures would get me to go to China in a heartbeat. Or Korea. I'd go back to Korea for six figures, four, five figures. How about that? We'll bump it down even more. So, yeah, I mean, I can only imagine that it's just a different scene that he can compete in and try to like just grow his coaching resume. So I think that's a good, I think it's an okay move for Koma. I mean, yeah, he's pretty much done it all already.
I think it's a few different things. I think part of it might be some complacency as well. I mean, you've been with one team. I feel like he's been there like 5 or 6 years at this point. He's won multiple titles with that team. He's represented the LCK on the biggest stage as a winning coach before. To me, this might be just a change of scenery. They had an all-star roster last year, 10 players that could have started on just about any team. They ended up going to Worlds. They lost in the semifinal to G2. Now we're back again, back at the reset. A lot of these players are signing to other teams. Faker's still there, obviously. You've worked with him for years. To me, this might be Koma just wanting to try something different, travel somewhere new, experience something different. Obviously, like you said, it could have been a pay thing. He could have got offered even more money from Vici. Very possible. At the same point, the Chinese scene has really dominated. And this could be crazy, but I could see Koma going over to the Chinese scene and then coming back to LCK next year with a whole new wealth of knowledge of how to grow the South Korean scene based on the Chinese scene as well.
So you think he's like a super secret double agent for the LCK?
I think it could be. It could be the, who was it, Biofrost, TSM going to CLG and then coming back. You never know. I mean, you know what?
That is an anime I would watch. Biofrost? I would totally watch that anime.
Or Koma.
Yeah, I mean, both. Those are both amazing arcs there. I mean, that would, look, I'm just going to say here is, if we don't get an anime written about some of these awesome moves here in League, then it's just pointless. It's absolutely pointless. But I do like the double agent theory there. Biofrost was sent out on a several year mission. He's now returning home to the TSM Palace, and we're going to see how much intel he has gathered so TSM can dominate the LCS once again. And I put that in air quotes because I still don't think it's going to happen. But yeah, that's interesting. I don't know if Koma would go to China just to turn around and come back in a year.
Yeah, I don't know either. I think he probably got offered a multi-million dollar deal if he turned down SKT, or I guess just T1 at this point. But either way, huge move there. Big Korean coach, one of the best of all time, heading over to China. In return, TI signed Coach Kim in his place. John, Coach Kim. This is no little coach either. Coach Kim has quite the resume. He most recently was known for leading Invictus Gaming to the World Championship last year. And yes, they did hoist the trophy over my boys Fnatic in the end, and it was not pretty, but hey, it was a win for Coach Kim. On top of that, he led Damwon to the quarterfinals this year, where they lost to G2 Esports, who went on to be a finalist as well. So Coach Kim has a great resume. In particular, I really like his drafting style. I feel like he brings a lot to the drafts. A lot of his team come into the games with competitive drafts, while a lot of other teams in the past we've seen kind of lose it in the drafting phase, whether they lose based on three drafts of losing lanes, whether they lose based on just not really comparing their team comp to the other well enough. It seems like Coach Kim's teams are always prepared in the drafting phase, and they do a good job of vision as well. They do a good job of pushing their advantages, especially with objectives. I really like him as a coach, but to me, the drafting phase is going to be even more important heading into the next season, and I think Coach Kim is going to do a really good job there. Again, he's not Koma. Koma was amazing as well, but Coach Kim seems like the next best thing.
Yeah, Coach Kim would be because, you know, there's a chance. No, he signed, okay? Coach Kim, I think, is a decent replacement. I mean, that is a massive pair of shoes to fill with Koma leaving. But I have to agree with you, Drew. I feel like, Coach Kim coming in off of Invictus winning the finals last year and quarterfinals this year, I mean, that's hard to do. A lot of teams struggle to keep getting back to that elite place in Worlds. It's not just about making it to groups. It's not about just making it out of groups. It's how consistently can you be in that top four, that final four of League of Legends Worlds Championship. And for 2 years in a row, well, he didn't do it. I mean, he went to the quarterfinals. Pardon me. I jumped the gun there a little bit. He didn't make it to the semis. But that's still impressive. And I think T1's going to be in good hands. They have a roster that has mega stars on it. He now gets Faker in mid lane. I mean, let's be real here. Any coach would kill to it 10 times over for Faker in the mid lane. So I think he's going to be in a good place. I think T1's in good hands.
Honestly, I would take Rookie over Faker if I had the choice. Just saying. I think Rookie's just super talented, though. The other thing that I think Coach Kim brings to the table, and not to say Koma didn't, but a lot of coaches out there don't have this in their repertoire, is the fact that he's coached up young players as well. We look at this SKT roster, it almost feels like it's in that generational gap of kind of, I don't know really how to describe it, but it's like not quite Faker moving on, but Faker's probably getting closer to retirement as we go. They're also changing out their jungle talent. They have young AD carry and support. Effort signed for 2 more years as support. Mata retired. So there's a lot of different moves out there that are really bringing a youthful age or bringing down the age gap of T1's roster. And I think Coach Kim has the resume to be able to bring that veteran knowledge to these young players and help continue to build them up. I mean, look at Jackie Love over at IG. Extremely talented AD carry that was very young when he came in. Balan as well. You look at the Shy was another player that played under Kim. And then you go to this year with Damwon. I mean, you have Canyon. You have a lot of other talented players on that roster, too. So I think Coach Kim brings a wealth of knowledge and experience, and I really think that's going to benefit the young players at SKT as well. Overactive Media. John, you mentioned it a bit, and we teased it a few weeks ago. It's officially happened. Splice's LEC team has been rebranded. Not only their LEC team, but Splice in general has gone through a full rebrand to Mad Lions. In addition to the change, Mad Lions got a fresh rebranded logo as well. If you look at the logo, I think it's nice. I like Splice's logo as well, personally. When I look at the Mad Lions logo, I think soccer logo. I'm thinking something very soccer, very traditional sport-esque. It looks like a very, really a normal sports logo. It doesn't really strike me as super esporty.
So, first off, I want to give them the award for the most dramatic social media switch over to a new brand. They sent out this really sappy tweet that was like, it's an end of an era. And also I said, look, I get it. I understand. It's sad. But then the banner on Twitter is replaced with an old black picture. The profile picture on their Twitter profile and the social media platforms are replaced with a black picture. And then overnight, they rebrand everything to Mad Lions on the exact same Splice account. So, okay, cool. Awesome. That's great. Very dramatic, a little overdone in my opinion. But Joey, I agree with you 100%. This logo, to me, when I saw it, I was like, oh, the English Premier League has a new logo, right, for the Barclays Premier League? Like, because they have that same lion logo. And if they're going to rebrand as a Spanish-based League of Legends team, you know, I'm sorry, as being, you know, Joey, you and I being that weird hybrid of people that like traditional sports and esports, that's the first thing that pops out at me also, is that this looks like a soccer logo. This looks like an EPL rebrand, and I'm not going to associate it with esports. The name is very generic. Splice had so much power behind it. The logo is just so... Now, don't get me wrong. I think it's a nice-looking logo. I don't think it's a nice-looking esport logo, but overall, it's a nice logo. I would wish that they would have done this differently. I wish they would have stuck with Splice. The logo was fine. This logo is very Barclays Premier League.
I'm trying to find it, but I actually think Mad Lions had more followers on their account than Splice did. I can't seem to find it. But so the one thing with Mad Lions, and yeah, I agree, we lean towards Splice, especially over here in North America, where Splice was well known, is popular. We know the brand. Mad Lions was like a, I don't even know what it's called over there. It's like the Spanish Premier League, the Challenger Series or whatever for Spain over there. Mad Lions is extremely popular, though, especially with the Spanish audience. They come through. They're very talented. They've done very well in EU Masters historically. The brand is very well known in Spain. Hopefully that translates through the rest of Europe for them. Obviously, winning EU Masters and doing extremely well multiple years in that tournament does help with that branding recognition as well. When it comes down to it, though, at least for us on the American side, we know people who work for Splice. We love the Splice brand. We thought the logo was great. The articles they wrote were great on that side as well. So I personally connect a bit more with Splice, maybe because I've known them in the scene for so long. I've seen them grow. I've seen them go through different rosters. Mad Lions, I haven't really kept up with much outside of some Nemesis research when Fnatic originally picked him up. So the logo and the roster and the name and all of that is much more new to me and you. With that being said, that Spanish audience really can drive home. We've seen it in Madrid when the LEC has been hosted there. They are electric. They are exciting. Will that translate to the rest of Europe? I think that's still to be known and to be seen. But at the same point, new blood in the LEC as far as players coming into this new roster, as well as this new logo, could be a good thing for the brand overall. Personally, I'm a little resentful, though.
I do like their hashtag, #GoMad. I think that's right down my alley. So I'll give them kudos for that. That's good social media marketing with that hashtag usage. But other than that, I think you hit the nail on the head, Joe. I think it is. It's just new to North American fans just because, you know, we have that connection with Splice. You never want to see something like a Splice organization kind of dissolve into a different named organization or really just kind of merge. So it's tough. I have a feeling it'll grow on everyone sooner rather than later. And then just over time, I don't think anyone's going to forget Splice, especially if they've been in the esports scene for a while. But it's going to be tough for Mad Lions to kind of win over those Splice diehard fans and just kind of accept that change. So it'll take time, but I think it'll happen.
Yeah, this to me at least feels very much like when we saw Dignitas get ousted from the NALCS at the time. Again, the organization's not dead. It just has a new name. In Dignitas's case, it wasn't in the league anymore, so obviously it's a bit different there compared to this. At the same point, the organization lives on. A lot of the players will still live on under that organization's umbrella. whether it be Rocket League, whether it be League of Legends, CS:GO, and beyond. As far as League of Legends goes, it looks like they're only moving forward with Humanoid. The rest of the roster is brand new players. So we're seeing a new look, new players, a very fresh take on the LEC from this organization. Partnerships. Astro Gaming recommits to partner with Gears Esports for the 2020 season of Gears 5. In addition to the audio partnership components, this will also include a new Astro Battles 2v2 League with over $40,000 in cash and prizes, with Team Beyond Net working on that as well. This, to me, is a really big move for Gears. Personally, I like Gears as a game. I don't think the esports scene is quite there yet. It has that gritty, mature, really appeal, I guess you could say, or graphics or whatever you want to go with it. You can't really show that much gore on normal television. You can't show someone getting Nash or shotgunned in the head and just exploding into different parts. It's never going to become a mainstream esport because of that gore, but that gore is also what draws its audience, that gritty, that competitive play. So there's a plus and a minus there. At the same point, we continue to see the scene grow. This, in particular, is a signed-on re-partnership. Astro liked what happened with Gears last year. They want to sign back in for Gears 5, which is an even bigger game than Gears 4. It's had its ups and downs. It's had its glitches, but they're working through that stuff, and the esports scene looks like it's going to thrive, as they're taking a lot of feedback from esports pros as well. With that being said, they've continued to increase the prize pool as well. Microsoft and Gears have, as well as Astro, obviously, here with the 40K Astro Battles 2v2. 2v2 being a new mode, so they have the competitive team mode. They're also adding 2v2, and they're adding a free play mode. It kind of reminds me of old-timey Halo in the way they're approaching this.
Yeah, I feel like you hit the nail on the head on several things there. Just there's so much potential with Gears 5, but it's that mature rating that's really holding them back. Like you said, the shotgun blast to the face is definitely not something that's going to go over well. Chainsawing your enemies in half, even though it brings me much pleasure in game to do that. It's not gonna, Joey. on stream, on traditional television, that's not gonna go over so well. And you know, we're still trying to win over the older generations. You know, the decision makers in most of these situations, that esports is a legitimate venture for them. That, you know, we want this on traditional television as much as we want it streamed to all of our devices. We want it to be available as much as possible, but really having it on cable TV or network television, that's like the pinnacle, because that's when you know you've won the boomers over. That's when you know the older Generation X CEOs out there have finally caught on to the idea that is esports. And as Gears has that potential, that's like going to be the one thing that's going to hold it back. And if I'm a CEO, or if I'm a boomer, I'm going to put my boomer hat on real quick, and I take a look at this game, and you're trying to convince me to invest in esports and put this on my network, I don't even see how this would even be considered. And again, there's so much potential with it, but yeah, it's tough.
Right. And like I said, like we said before, it's not going to be a major stream esport, but the fact that they are putting more into the prize pool, I think, is something promising, not only for those pro players, but people who are fans of the game as well. It means something might be going right with the scene, or at least they're willing to throw money at it to continue to try to help it grow. This, to me, and this could just be me being a dreamer, I think this is also them starting to test the waters a bit for Halo as well. How does the 2v2 format do? How does the 1v1 or 1v1v1v1 free-for-all format go? How does the team format work? What kind of game modes work well? This, to me, is not only them giving more support for Gears and trying to grow the esports scene and community, but really testing the esports waters. What works well with Gears? What would work better with Halo? How can we adapt before we get to Halo? I love Microsoft. I think Xbox is a great brand. I think they've done a lot of good work over this generation. The titles didn't come this gen, but it looks like there are a lot to come down the road. With that being said, I do not think they've been a great esports brand. I think Halo Esports was one of the best esports out there, but again, I think it was too ahead of its time. Esports was not ready for the big scene yet. MLG was great, but again, it didn't last through today. The Halo scene is still there, but it's very small. When they're looking at this new scene, I think they really want it to explode. They want it to be up there with League of Legends, with CSGO, and I think it has all the potential to do that being on PC. With that being said, Gears has not taken off to that degree. I think, again, part of it is the gore, but part of it is Microsoft really running this scene. The marketing has not been great for Gears of War. Again, you're limited by the violence, but at the same point, you can market better than they have been. The streaming deals. Do we have a streaming deal? I think it's on Twitch and it's on their website. Like, you own Mixer. Like, let's get something going with Mixer, or make a deal with Twitch, or do something here and there. So I feel like there's a lot of room to grow, and I hope this allows them to get the kinks out before Halo comes around next year. I'm a little invested in that one, if you can't tell. Well-renowned Smash player Zero is leaving Twitch for Facebook in an exclusive streaming deal. But, John, that's not all. This one has a little twist to it, and I think this is going to be a very important twist as these streaming deals continue to go on. And the twist being he is still allowed to post his VODs to YouTube. So he's streaming exclusively on Facebook, but he's allowed to post his videos in other platforms. That, to me, is a very, very key factor. And I think with this now being, what's the word I'm looking for? What's that freaking word that I'm trying to think of? The thing where something happens. Come on, chat. Someone help me out
the
here.
The thing when something happens.
You know, like, okay, so there's a Supreme Court case and someone gets ruled guilty. And then when another case of the same person doing that same thing gets brought up, there's precedent. That's the word I'm looking for.
Precedent
is it. So now we have a precedent for someone signing an exclusive streaming deal, but also being allowed to post their VODs on another platform. That, to me, is going to be so, so key as these negotiations continue on, because now these streamers who might have been close to deals could say, well, hey, this guy's able to post his stuff on YouTube and be able to get revenue from that as well as the exclusive streaming. Can we talk about that? What's the money difference here and there, or the year difference that it gets cut down depending on that? So this, to me, is a huge, huge precedent that is really going to come into play as these streaming wars continue on.
Yeah, so I think the big question here that we have to ask is, was this that breaking point that made Zero go, yes, I'll come to Facebook? Was Facebook's initial offer not good enough for him to leave everything behind on his other streaming platform and go full time to Facebook? Was this that thing that sweetened the pot just enough for him to pull the trigger? Or is this Facebook kind of being smart? And I really do not want to lean towards the latter of that. But if Facebook is being smart here, realizing that they're getting a lot of grief in the gaming community because they're compared to everything else, they're still so far behind. We talked about it when Disguised Toast did the same move when he went to Facebook, bringing his live content to viewers on that platform, leaving everyone behind on Twitch. You know, the question was, is can Facebook support that? Facebook, a social media platform that's kind of dying. It, you know, it's mainly filled with, you know, older generation X and baby boomers are the biggest populators on that platform. You know, they're not really bought into esports yet. Are they going to be tuning in? Yes, there are millennials and some Gen Z on there as well. Are they going to be watching on Facebook, or are they going to just wait for the VODs? Now, Facebook, the way they probably see this is, hey, look, you want to watch the live content, you have to come to Facebook. You want to watch a short 15-minute video of a three-hour stream and have, like, all, like, these parts bit and pieced together with all these jump cuts, go to YouTube and watch it. That's fine with us. I'd also be kind of curious to see if there's some kind of a deal with him being able to post his VODs to YouTube, if some of that royalty that he gets from his YouTube videos, from the viewerships and the sponsors there, goes back to Facebook. So I'd be curious to read the details of this agreement with Zero going to Facebook. Again, you know, it's cool for Zero. He's getting that paycheck. But at the end of the day, leaving Twitch to go to Facebook, I'm sorry. I mean, I'm going to call it how I say it. To me, that's a step down. That's a step in the wrong direction. Facebook is not a proven stream-friendly site. And he may be pulling in, you know, a couple thousand people here and there. But these streams on Twitch pull in tens of thousands, if not more. So again, without knowing the details of that contract, I'm still a little hesitant anything to do with Facebook.
Right. I think anyone leaving Twitch is taking a risk. Obviously, you need some kind of fundamentals, whether it be years of a contract, whether it be a good amount plus those years of the contract, whether it be some kind of promise from that platform. There needs to be something. When you look at Mixer, they're making the deal most likely on money in years. Ninja and Shroud are not going to a random platform or a semi-random platform, not making bank doing it. They had to have something. And they're building up their followings over there. Some people followed them over. I think they're both over 1 million at this point. So they're growing, but they're still not at their Twitch numbers. When you look at a smaller streamer, and again, I don't follow Zero that closely, but the Smash scene in general is not as big as something like Fortnite, obviously. So when we look at Zero, is he going to be able to get that many people to follow him over? The Smash scene and really any fighting game scene is very committed, it feels like, so he might end up with some people over there. But when you look at the comparison, when I look at really Mixer versus YouTube versus Caffeine, they're all similar streaming-based platforms. Facebook doesn't really feel like it's a game streaming platform like you mentioned, John. And that to me is really the disconnect. I'm finding myself less and less on Facebook as we go. And now you're trying to bring me back. I don't know if I'm going to go back to watch a Smash player. Even if I'm like a big Smash fan, even if this is like the, I don't know, the best Halo player of all time and I love watching him, I don't know if I follow him to Facebook that often. Maybe a stream here or there as I check notifications that have been backlogged for like 6 months. Maybe I tune in for 10 minutes. I don't know if I'm over there for a streamer in particular. I don't really have much of a reason to go to Facebook right now in general. So I don't know if this is going to be the one to bring people back to that platform either. So for Zero, I hope he signed a good contract. I hope this deal goes well, but I really think his biggest revenue stream outside of whatever contract he signed is going to come from YouTube on that live content.
Now, being the fact that Twitch is blocked at my job, my big boy job outside of the podcast, Facebook is not blocked, which blows my mind. So I could actually watch his stream on Facebook because my company is crazy enough not to block Facebook. I guess that's one positive thing. But like you said, Joey, I even find myself less and less on Facebook. You know, I'm mainly, you know, Twitter and Instagram now with the occasional Snapchat. The cool thing right now is TikTok, Joey. Is Level Up Podcast going to get a TikTok account?
If you want to make a TikTok account, go for it. I can barely keep up with my text messages right now.
That's tempting. Oh, cringe.
So are we going exclusive to TikTok is what you're telling me?
No, we're not going exclusive to TikTok. I mean, just side note real quick. The launcher, Washington Post gaming section. They have a TikTok. Have you seen any of their TikToks that they've posted to like Facebook or Twitter or anything?
Have I?
Yeah.
I don't think you understood how serious I was. I barely keep up with my text messages right now.
Okay, fine. I thought you were being a little over dramatic.
No,
but
I am
know
so you're backlogged on emails and everything. It's overwhelming. I need a secretary if anyone's out there.
Fair. I'm going to bite my tongue on that one. Yeah, so they have a TikTok and it's actually kind of funny. It's like these middle-aged guys essentially memeing themselves with like current trends on TikTok, and it's actually paying off quite well. They're getting a lot of positive responses from younger generations, something that, you know, a lot of people make fun of older generation profiles on there, you know, boomers trying to make fun of millennials and Gen Z and they just kind of like absolutely destroy them, but no, these are like, you know, older generations that are into the same nerdy kind of stuff that the younger generations, you know, that we're into. So it's actually done well for them. And I'm actually kind of curious. I want to contact them and see how, if there's a way that they track to see if their TikTok interactions result in clicks on their articles. So that'd be kind of interesting to see there, but yeah, just throwing that out there, Joe, you should check out their TikTok.
Yeah. I might eventually download it when the clock strikes midnight. We'll see what happens. I mean, if I don't sleep at night anymore, maybe that's what I should be doing is downloading TikTok and making videos of myself trying to snore and not doing it. Mondays. Moving on. Gear up, Spartans. Halo Reach hits PC this week. John, this happens tomorrow, Tuesday, December 3rd, I believe is what it is. I think I can say this. So I've been testing it for a little while. I think there's still some kinks that need to be worked out from the last time I tested it, but it does feel pretty good on PC. It does feel a bit like a port to me, but I'm very excited for it overall. I think as they continue to really polish it and make it new, Halo on PC is going to be a really cool thing to see. In particular, it's very similar to the console version. A lot of the same game modes, a lot of the same ability for customization, you can say. So I think this is great. I think this is going to be a good introduction to Halo for some of these PC users that might not have played Halo before. And it's with the Master Chief Collection, so there will be more games to come as well, optimized from console to PC. One of the key things to keep in mind, this is an old game. If you're coming out expecting a brand new, super fresh Halo, this is not Halo Infinite. This is not going to be incredibly graphically tuned. This is still a console game played on PC. So just keep that in mind as we go into this. At the same point, Halo is just so much fun. Anything from Griffball to, I love the competitive modes personally. I'm one of those MLG type of players that likes the headshots only type of thing. I really like that super competitive edge, but also the fun modes here and there. Zombies is great in Halo. Tons of different fun components for it. So huge fan of Halo. Go get it. It's available on Steam. I believe it's $40 on Steam to own. In addition, you can also get it on the best service in gaming right now, and that is the Xbox Game Pass. Again, we are not sponsored. That is just my humble opinion. There is a whole lot out there, and it's going to soon include Project X Cloud as well. seriously the best service in gaming, guys. Check it out. Halo launches this week. John, did you play any of the Halo?
I did, right? I swear, Joey, you are like the best unpaid spokesman for like this whole Xbox thing. They're like this, your constant praise of Xbox and anything Microsoft is disgusting. It makes me want to vomit.
Hey, I got on them for their esports earlier, so I'm playing a little biased here.
But did you? I mean, I don't think you really did. I mean, you essentially just made up by like giving them like the best gaming service in gaming gamedom and blah, blah, blah.
How about this? Am I wrong?
Joey, I have played Halo. I am very familiar with Halo. No, I love Halo. I think Halo is a great game, great gaming series. It was the series that actually made me buy an Xbox. But you didn't know that, did you, Joey?
I did.
Darn it. Yeah, I owned an Xbox for a while, and Halo was a big reason behind it. It's a great game. I'm totally getting it on the Game Pass. Fun fact, if you're a Nitro subscriber on Discord, you also get 3 months free of the Game Pass as well. Again, not sponsored by Discord or anything, but I think that's a pretty sweet deal considering they just cut all their games out of their Nitro subscription. But yeah, I think it's a pretty cool deal. I'm super psyched for Halo coming to PC. I think it's going to be great. And I cannot wait to see how it operates on the PC. I'm a little jealous that you've been testing behind the scenes there, Joey. But other than that, I'm psyched for it. I'm pretty hyped.
Yeah, I think it'll be good. And have you played every Halo game? Because I'll be honest, I have not.
I'm going to be honest, I have not after Halo 3.
Oh, okay, cool. So we, together, we complete each other. Awkward as that sounds. That's one of those things you want to think through in your head first.
Hold on, Joey. Just touch my finger. We're fine. We got this. We got here. We'll reenact. That's right. Right. Okay. That was creepy. Let's never do that again.
Yeah. You know, things happen. E.T. So I actually never played the original Halo or Halo 2. Yeah, I'm that guy.
Really?
Yeah, I did not have an Xbox. I was a PlayStation 2 user at the time. So, yeah, I was all PlayStation, 100%.
Is that breaking news that you... I did not even know that, Joey.
Yeah, no, I was PlayStation. PlayStation 2.
What happened to you?
I switched over for the competitive platform.
Yes, Scorsel will clip that right now. That needs to be clipped. I am blasting that all over social media that Joey was a PlayStation guy. At one point in time in his life, he was smart.
Yeah, I was PlayStation. I really enjoyed PlayStation 2, but when it came to the competitive esports, and well, not really esports at the time, but competitive gaming, in my humble opinion, the better gamers were on Xbox for the 360 generation. The Call of Duty scene felt so much more competitive on Xbox, so I switched over for that reason. For the record, Xbox dominated the Call of Duty scene at the time. So I think it was a good switch overall at the time. Again, I think PlayStation, I've said this before, I think they're killing it with exclusive. They've done a very good job. I think Microsoft and Xbox are going to be much more competitive next generation, though. With that being said, yes, I never played Halo, and I never played Halo 2. I did play everything beyond, though. So maybe we intertwine for a little bit on Halo 3. I probably killed you on Guardian or something like that. But at the same point...
Okay, you are assuming you were even in my league. I can guarantee you, Joey, that based upon my skill in Halo... There is no way you were ranked that low in Halo. There's no way you were that low. Almost, so got him. Almost got
yeah,
him.
Yeah, you're not allowed almost to do twists like that when I'm drinking. That's not fair.
Oh, there he goes. Scorsel clipped it. It's right there.
Oh,
he clipped
no.
it. Oh, Scorsel, you're awesome.
I hope he clipped the PlayStation part and not you and I both trying to touch each other through the camera.
Oh, that would be... Yikes.
Hey-o. You never know. Level up on the Level Up podcast. With that being said, I think Halo is great, John. I don't know if I'll be able to play Tuesday, but I will definitely be playing this week. I'm super excited to pick it back up. I want to get in the groove of Halo. And one thing that I've really been working on this year, having a PC, is transitioning my gunplay over. I was very good back in the day on console. Now I can't even pick up a controller and aim down sight properly. I suck at it. But I've gotten much better at the keyboard and mouse. I've been popping heads like crazy in Gears of War. I haven't jumped into Call of Duty, though. I had issues with the beta, and that just kind of turned me off, as well as some other Activision stuff here and there. So I haven't tried Call of Duty yet. I haven't really tried that style of shooter. Halo being obviously a little different. There's not as much aiming down sight in it, but it's also very different from Gears of War and Overwatch. So I'm very curious how it's going to play out. I'm super excited for it, and I'm so, so ready for Infinite in holiday 2020. So Halo Reach, welcome aboard, Spartans. Okay, we talked about it a bit. Upcoming, though, so just some of the esports tournaments that are coming up. We have the Gears Esports San Diego Major 2019. That is going to be December 6th. For those paying attention, the prize pool has increased. I think I have the number somewhere up here. $80,000 for first place. The total prize pool is now $240,000. This, to me, seems like a little much. Obviously, there are paid teams out there for Gears Esports. We've talked about the viewership, though, because of the gore and the maturity. It's kind of limited in what they can do. But, John, they're still throwing out $250,000 for this scene.
That's a pretty spicy prize pool there. Yeah, I'm kind of curious to see how this does go over. I'm going to leave it there. I'm going to hold back. I have the same kind of concerns that you do, Joey, when it comes to the Gears Esports scene. I'm going to step back. I'm going to watch this a little bit, but it should be interesting. But that is a pretty nice prize pool.
Absolutely. And then we also have the 2v2 and free-for-all side tournaments. I don't have the prize for the free-for-all, but 2v2 is going to be a $10,000 prize pool for that. And that's something that just you and I could join. If we were out in San Diego for the weekend, we could sign up for that. If we end up winning it all, we take home $5,000. That's a pretty nice prize pool for fans, if you ask me. So you can jump between maybe your matches here and then you watch a pro match there. And it's almost like a con in the sense that is kind of happening. There's all different things going on, whether it be the pro scene, this tournament, meeting developers, getting to know new content for Gears of War. One of the big things about this, though, there's no current free-for-all match in Gears of War. It's been announced that that's coming with Operation 2, which launches December 11th. In addition to that, I love 2v2s. I'm a huge 2v2 fan in any game. 3v3s are my favorite, though. But 2v2 here, I think this means that game mode will probably be coming to the live game as well, if I had to take a guess. I'm excited for 2v2 or Wingman or something in that style. Maybe you and I can do a little co-stream there, see what happens. I think we could probably win a couple rounds here and there, maybe, if we're lucky.
You have way too much faith in my skills. When it comes to Gears, not so much.
Last but not least, do you have the link that I put in the notes up? Oh, I didn't put a link.
I do not see a link.
Yeah,
in
you can't
notes,
pull a link up if I don't post a link. I just want to see your thoughts.
Are you setting me up for failure right
Scroll
now?
Down to the bottom. So there's an event exclusive content as well. There's going to be an attendee banner, a player banner, and a champion banner. These are some of the coolest banners I've seen in games, personally. It kind of plays off the San Diego like shark versus aquarium theme, and it's like the Gears logo inside the mouth of a shark. I just think this looks super sick. Am I the only one that thinks this?
May I ask a question? There's a theme of shark versus aquarium.
Okay.
I'm curious here because I've never gone to an aquarium and looked at a shark behind that glass and gone, I think this would be a great like Sharknado 7. Sharks attack the aquarium, and it just doesn't really, you know.
Now, see, you're joking about this, but I would not be surprised to see a Sharknado movie that starts with an aquarium at some point.
God, Sharknado's just awful. It is the TikTok of horrible movies. It's simple as that. It's that bad.
Absolutely. Anyway, so there's pretty cool banners there for those that are attending in San Diego. I will not be there. John will probably not be there as well, unless there's something I don't know. But for those of you who do go out there, enjoy that, have fun, get that cool banner. Next up, we have the Game Awards. That's actually not this week, but next week. That's going to be December 12th. And we can do a little voting on that next week, John, but I do want to hear, what do you think is this year's Game of the Year?
Oh, don't put me on the spot. I haven't even thought about this yet.
Let me give you the nominees, actually. Well, do you want the nominees or not?
Give me the nominees.
Okay, so nominees for Game of the Year on the Game Awards is going to be Control by Remedy. We have Death Stranding by Kojima and Sony Interactive. Resident Evil 2 by Capcom. Sekiro Shadows Die Twice from Software. I can't scroll. Here we go. Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, obviously by Nintendo, and then The Outer Worlds from Obsidian, Private Division, and Microsoft. There's some good ones out there.
There are. I'm pulling it up right now. I need the visual. I can tell you.
I got a link for you, too, if you need it.
I got it right here. So, personally, I think it's going to come down to The Outer Worlds and Death Stranding. Two amazing games. Kojima makes absolutely fantastic games. His storytelling is second to none. But The Outer Worlds has so much hype around it. You know what? My gut's telling me Death Stranding, so I'm going to go with Death Stranding, but Outer Worlds would definitely not be a surprise.
I have no idea what's going to get it. And apparently Metacritic is not working either. I know Death Stranding did not review very well at all, as far as user base on Metacritic, but at the same point, it's just so different. It's a Kojima thing. I don't know if I made this comparison on the podcast before, but Kojima games kind of make me think of Tarantino movies. They're just very different and very unique and very odd compared to the normal games out there, just like Tarantino's movies. I feel like it's a very selective taste. It's one of those things that almost has to be studied. Like, why did this play out this way? What's the symbolism here? Why is this game built this way? So I could see Death Stranding winning. I mean, the host of the Game Awards is also in the game, so maybe there's a slight edge there. I'm sure that won't appeal to the voting. I don't see Control getting it. I think it was a great game. It had some hype for a couple weeks. Didn't hear much about it after that. Resident Evil 2, a remake as well. Death Stranding is a new IP. Sekiro Shadows Die Twice, I've heard very, very good things from. Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, I think, is a great game. Again, I don't think it has enough to really take the game of the year here. The multiplayer is awesome. The story mode has some to be... There's room to grow for the Super Smash Bros. Single player, let's just say. The Outer Worlds, single player game, no multiplayer. Very popular, but again, it's a shorter game. The Outer Worlds was one of those games, well, shorter in retrospective compared to RPGs, let's say. Fallout obviously being longer. The Outer Worlds, this was before Microsoft's money really came into play. So this was a game that was being developed before they got bought out by Microsoft. So it's one of those games that has some Microsoft influence, but not really the paycheck or the paybook of Microsoft being behind it. So I think that's what's going to hold it back over everything, just because they didn't have the funding to continue to pour more into this game. We saw it announced at the Game Awards last year, and now it came out here in October, did extremely well, reviewed extremely well. I think this is probably going to go to Death Stranding or Sekiro, I think is where I'm going to put it. I'm going to go with Sekiro just because Death Stranding has done so poorly with users. If we look at who's going to be voting on this, the users do get votes in this. With that being said, Death Stranding is doing so poorly with users, I don't think it's going to have enough to pull it through. At the same point, if you look at the way the Academy works and who votes on these awards, because it's so artistic, it could get some of those. But I'm going to go with Sekiro or The Outer Worlds. I'm going to go Sekiro, though, as my final. I did not play it, but I've heard amazing things.
I'm just a big Kojima fan also.
Kojima's great. He is. I think Death Stranding looks weird as hell. I don't think I would play it.
I do think it's interesting that you bring up the Quentin Tarantino reference, because I think that is incredibly accurate, because even a game like the original Metal Gear, you know, you go back to the PS1 Metal Gear, Metal Gear Solid, don't go all the way back to the 1987 Game Boy Metal Gear, but go back to that PlayStation Metal Gear Solid. That had such in-depth lore, in-depth storyline, cinematics that had to explain a lot of things to you. It was a multi-disc game at the time. And it was just one of those games that you would just dive into the world and you could get lost for hours, if not days, sometimes it felt like, in that story through great gameplay, through these stories that kind of developed as you go. Like, you start out and you're kind of confused. You know, why am I even here at Shadow Moses? This doesn't make any sense. And then you realize, oh, there's a terrorist group here. Oh, you're trying to save the world from a nuclear apocalypse kind of thing, you know? So... the story eventually played out and it took a lot of turns that the player wasn't expecting, but that's what really gained that following for Metal Gear Solid fans. And the reason why Metal Gear Solid 2, 3, and, you know, all the way up through, I believe it's 5 and some other knockoff brands now, including, you know, with Solid Snake still, why there's such a rabid fan base around Metal Gear Solid. And it was because Kojima was able to tell that story in his own way. And it did require the player to think, to dive headfirst into that universe and really get attached to what's going on, to really take away the full benefits of that game. Now, compare it to the games that are coming out, you know, in present day in 2019 going into 2020. This game is so far complex versus, you know, a lot of things that we're currently seeing. You know, players want, you know, great gameplay, but they want great graphics and they don't want something that's not too hard to follow along, or they just want multiplayer. So it's kind of a unique situation here for Kojima, kind of sticking to his roots here with his old style of storytelling in a world where it's so much more focused on multiplayer and graphical achievements. So I mean, I totally understand where you're coming from, Joey, and I'm not saying you're wrong on Death Stranding and the criticism that has against it, but just someone who's already so involved in that universe, that game to me just it speaks to me. I like those kinds of games.
Right, and so, I think we're on the exact same page because of that. It's just that artistic style. It's that depth. But I don't know if most gamers are going to get to that depth in a game. Some are going to die out. It supposedly takes 10 hours of boring gameplay to get to anything interesting based on a lot of user reviews. So I think some users are going to die out and not play it that long. Others are going to play through it and not really understand what happened. And maybe that's a plus for them. Maybe that earns their vote. At the same point, something like The Outer Worlds, where choice is completely made on their own, or something like Sekiro that's been compared to like Dark Souls, where it's super challenging and there's these awesome boss fights, I don't know if it's going to hold water on that. I think if it's something like the Academy voting, if it's someone like well-renowned people who look at the artistic genre of games, then Death Stranding stands an edge. If we look at user scores, I think it's more about that fun, awe-inspiring experience. And I don't think most users, I'm not downplaying the intellect of users, but I don't know if many people will hit the depth that Death Stranding brings to the table, me included. I don't know if I would even find it. So with that being said, I'm going to go Sekiro. I think The Outer Worlds is up there as well. But, John, one that we did not really mention, the Golden Joystick Awards, I believe they ended in November. Resident Evil 2 won Game of the Year for them.
You know, I just have a hard time voting for a remake.
I agree.
You know, I think the graphical changes and achievements that game has overcome or developed into, I think, is great. But at the same time, it's just a repackaged game that was already produced back in the day. That's like, you know, everyone freaking out over the storyline of the Lion King live action versus the cartoon versions. Like, it's the same story, just presented slightly differently. It doesn't make, one doesn't make the story better than the other. It's the same story, just done with different graphics. One was drawn, one was 3D present day created. So I don't know. I'd have a hard time giving anything like Game of the Year to a game that's essentially a repackaged game.
And last but not least, don't sleep on Control either. Control is nominated for a ton of different awards this year. Again, it had that hype, it felt like, for a couple weeks, maybe even a month. Then it kind of ended because a lot of people had played through it at that point. But again, it's up there for a ton of different things. It's up here for action adventure game. It's up here for art direction, audio design, tons of nominations. When games get a lot of nominations like that, there's a good chance that they can go forward in Game of the Year as well. Results in esports, Genji, or Genji, however you want to pronounce that one, was crowned the 2019 PUBG Global Champions at the properly named PUBG Global Championship. John, PUBG is still going. It's still going strong out there, especially when it comes to Asia in particular. It's done extremely well over in Asia. Here it is again. Genji coming home with it.
You know, I'm not going to lie. I was over at a friend's house the other day, and he was playing PUBG. And I walked in, and I look at his TV screen. He's like ultimately, like, he's so invested in his current game. I look at it, and I literally just go, wait, you still play PUBG? And he just kind of looks at me. He goes, yeah, why wouldn't I? And then he gets run over by a truck. So I kind of felt bad because I distracted him. But I was more in shock that he was still playing PUBG versus him getting hit by a truck. So that's neither here nor there. But yeah, Genji winning a PUBG, a shooter, that's awesome. I think that is terrifying for the Western world that kind of dominated shooter games. But great for them. I think it's outstanding.
Fun fact, and you might want to fact check me on this, I believe PUBG is still the number one or two most played game on Steam as well. I think it's right up there with Counter-Strike, if I remember correctly. One of those is one, the other is two. And that's in North America as well. So we're not just talking Asia, where PUBG is extremely popular. We're also talking Europe, North America. It's still doing extremely well. It's right up there, so we sleep on PUBG over here. Honestly, John, I feel like you and I really haven't jumped into Battle Royales all that much in general.
Thank God.
I feel like we played some Fortnite here and there. Then we went to Apex for a little while. Well, it was the hot next thing. We played PUBG here and there. I played on console and on PC. Well, I played PUBG on console, Fortnite on both. But overall, we haven't really given the Battle Royale genre a lot of our time. PUBG is still extremely popular, though. Even with its glitches, even if you can glitch through mountains or miss shots completely because the game is crazy, or because it wants to overheat your computer when you try to stream it, there's a lot of different things that a lot of people don't like about PUBG. But there are a lot of things people like as well. The mobile scene's doing extremely well over in Asia. We keep seeing more and more teams and organizations buy into it. PUBG, the PC version, again, those Steam numbers say it for themselves. Still doing extremely well, even though Fortnite took a lot of its crown for a while. It's still out there, and it's still doing well, and obviously a global championship still going on here. Anything else, PUBG? Where are you dropping, bruh?
I'm staying in the battle bus. Thank you very much.
I think that'll do it for us this week. We're going to wait a little bit to talk more about the League of Legends roster changes just because there's so much movement. A lot of the rumors out there, a lot of the positives. Yeah, baby, click that button. Be back next week. This was a fun one for a Monday, wasn't it?
I clicked the button, Joey. Just leave me alone. Well, Nation, that is going to do it for another episode of Level Up Podcast. Before you go, head on over to patreon.com/OTN and consider becoming a part of the Overtime Network. In return, you will get access to exclusive content that nobody else in the world can get, unless they are a part of the Overtime Network. If you enjoy listening to the Level Up Podcast, let us know. Leave us a review on Spotify, Stitcher, iTunes, and Google Play, or even shoot us a comment on SoundCloud. We would love to hear from you. In fact, we love to hear from all of our listeners so much, we have other ways for you to interact with us and the show. Joey, where else can the listeners go to interact with us and the Level Up Podcast?
Level Up Nation. Head on over to Instagram, Twitter, and or Facebook and find us at the Level Up Podcast. That is the LVLUP Podcast. In addition to that, we stream regularly on Twitch. You see us right here, live audience. Hello, twitch.tv/OTN_live. Catch us there Monday nights at 7 p.m. as well as other streams throughout the week.
I think Joey was possessed there on that last part of that read through. That was a little terrifying. Make sure you tune in next week as we cover the latest and greatest in gaming and esports news. No, Joey, no more talking for you. Do your ears a favor. Hit that subscribe button to know when the next episode of Level Up Podcast is ready for your listening pleasures. We will catch you all next week. Remember, be nice to your fellow gamers online. And as always, level up.
Level up.